Captain Pigeon.
Make Maddie proud. Make Daddy proud.
Don't dye your hair.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
All right. It's the playoffs. Shay, what's up with the Battle of Florida? Like, what's going on there?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. Let's kick off with what happened before the Battle of Florida commenced. So our darling Matthew Tkachuk, little Chucky, got engaged. And go ahead.
I was going to say that. I feel like it came out of nowhere. We're like, truly. He has a girlfriend.
I feel like it was just made public that he had a girlfriend, and not even like public, because she is, I'm pretty sure we found out after this happened that she is private on social medias, and they kind of, I feel like, kept their relationship pretty under wraps. So it's like Brady's getting married, and they would like talk about it and stuff, like in kind of media. Like there was that whatever interview thing media that they did where Matthew was like, oh, like he's in love or whatever. And then he got engaged and then married, and now he has a kid on the way, and like we just all thought that Matthew Tkachuk was just partying over in the corner.
Yeah, we thought he was just the fun uncle.
Yeah, but apparently not. He is engaged to his girlfriend now, and I would like talk about the like how the pictures came out and everything, but it was unfortunate that one of the people that covers Florida Panthers took screenshots from like her private Instagram, which I don't think was really cool.
Oh, that's really pretty.
Yeah, it took like 2 seconds for me to find it when I went on my hockey account, but when I found it and realized it was like private, it was from a private Instagram, I was like, that's not cool.
No. Yeah, that's why I was just like, streets are saying Chucky's engaged. That's it. That's all I had was people saying today of all days. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? I can't see anything. But yeah. So congrats to him.
Congrats to him. Yeah.
It's sad that those photos like were, I guess, leaked, but it was a very beautiful engagement, so very happy for them. We love that for Matthew Tkachuk.
Are you okay?
No, I couldn't get the word Tkachuk out.
That's so fair. It was a very Florida engagement, I will say that. I will say there was like boats involved, and I'm like, it's so Florida.
He is becoming Florida man.
Oh yeah,
he is Florida man.
As soon as he arrived in the state and was like, this is who I am now.
Yeah. I'm about to wrestle an alligator in my like my little flip-flops and
American flag shorts.
American flag shorts, yeah,
like 5-inch inseam American flag. What are those called? Chubbies swimsuit bottoms. That's a good chuck. Maybe a straw cowboy hat.
Yeah, absolutely. Not even maybe. Absolutely a straw cowboy hat.
It's, you know what else? Go ahead.
Oh, he also needs the shark tooth on a leather strap necklace.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that works. It's like there's a place in Florida, like when you're going from like South Florida to like Central Florida, for like if you're going to Orlando or something, there's a spot called Yeehaw Junction, and I think he exemplifies that.
Absolutely.
Other than that, before getting to the Battle of Florida again, the Florida Panthers were Atlantic Division champs at the end of the season. And happy for them, great for them, but also they took a picture, like their team picture at the end of the year to like celebrate and all that. And all of the suits, like all of the people in the front office, it looks photoshopped.
They
They do.
I was like, there's no way those are there. They were actually at the photo.
No. Yeah. There are some of them, I will say. There are some of them that. Actually, you know what? Never mind. No, none of them look like they're there. The one seat, the one guy, third in from the right. So second suit in from the right. You can 100% tell that is the worst Photoshop I've ever seen. The chair doesn't even look the same. There's that is terrible.
If you like zoom into the picture, like open it up as like an image on like a separate tab and click zoom, like it's just so bad.
It's very obvious.
Like I've seen, like Florida has really good graphic designers. This is not their best work.
They probably didn't even involve them. There was some, like the photographer was like, I can just put in an extra 2 minutes of work to do this. They're like, I don't need to do any extra effort here in my photoshopping.
Yeah.
100%.
That's kind of crazy though. Like, I don't know why they did that. Why they couldn't just like get everyone in their suit and tie for the picture.
Wait, you know what I think is like really funny?
What?
I don't know anyone's faces. Who is the goalie? The Huberto, who's the goalie on the right?
Goalie on the right. Hang on, I need to figure out my lefts and my rights. Anthony Solares.
Look at his little skate.
He's just kind of like tilted in.
Yeah.
That's so funny, yeah. You have him with his little polite little tilted in skate. And then you look at Bobrovsky and Bobrovsky's like man spreading in his like goalie pad. Bobrovsky's like, I don't have time to be here.
He's trying to make himself so small and tiny.
He's so good. I love him. He did actually, like, one thing that I didn't put on the doc, the stats at the end of the season, like, both of our goalies were in the top five of, like, the with their save percentage throughout the year. And we, like, did a good job of balancing Bobrovsky and Anthony Solares during the actual season. So like they both got a decent amount of playing time. So to see like our quote unquote backup goalie like have like be in the top 5% for like save percentage, like I'm all for it. I'm like I'm living it up here.
Cool.
Of course it helps that we have actual defense now. So but to get to the actual Battle of Florida, by now, many of you might have seen the score. Panthers beat the Lightning in game one, 3-2. It was almost 3-1. The reason why, like, it wasn't 3-1 is because there was, like, a scuffle at the end and, like, Tampa scored, like, a goal with, like, a few seconds remaining on the clock, but there was no way they were going to score another one with, like, 8 seconds remaining. So we won basically because they pulled their goalie with 3 minutes remaining on the clock. Their goalie that was really, like, doing, like, standing on his head as well throughout the game. And it Matthew Tkachuk ended up scoring an empty net goal, and it was the go-ahead goal for us. So thank you. Is there a goalie? Is there a coach? John Cooper? I cannot remember.
It is, yes.
It is, right? Thank you, John Cooper, for pulling your goalie. I really appreciate it.
I will also say, like, I was watching, like, I was in a restaurant, and it was on the TV, and with 4 minutes left in the first period, Tampa did not have a shot on goal.
Mm-hmm.
And they finished with 19 shots on goal, which is, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just, like, very shocking to me. Like, what happened in this game?
It was 19-28. I will say they're, like, they came up big in, like, the end of the first period. Because we had scored a goal, and it had been, like, all Panthers for the majority of the first period. And then towards the end, with, like, 4 minutes remaining in the end of the first period, they went from having 0 shots on goal to having 7, and one of them was a goal. So they really, like, turned it up at the end of the first. The second was kind of, like, there were no goals. It was just kind of, like, like a little bit stagnant in terms of like no one really could get anything going on either team. And then Panthers picked it up in the third period because they're the cardiac cats and they love waiting till the third period till you really show up, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, my only other comment for Florida is that I am so happy to see how good our home crowd is. Like, I saw it last season with, like, the playoffs, but it doesn't cease to amaze me as, like, a person that grew up, like, watching, like empty stadiums, stadium filled with, like, fans of the away team, like, Panthers never making the playoffs, and, like, not having a really big home base, like, they have grown the culture of hockey so much in South Florida. There were people that were shirtless with cats on their bellies, you know? And there was another one, like another set of guys that had Bob, like it was three guys and they had Bob on their belly. And the Bob was painted to look like brick wall, you know?
Yeah.
It was so great. Like the home crowd was amazing.
That's awesome. I have a question.
Yeah.
With the teams being relatively close, like a little over 3 hours or closer to 4 hours, I guess, away, do you think having two teams playing in the playoffs that are that close to each other, do you think it's kind of like not easier, but kind of like easier, harder? Or do you think it makes a difference at all at like playing?
How so? Like, do you think it makes
it... like kind of like mentally to like them as like a team, like kind of being closer to home? Like if you don't have to get, I mean, I don't know how they travel there, if they get on a bus or if they get on a plane, but do you think it kind of makes it easier for them mentally and also, I guess, kind of physically to travel kind of back and forth between two cities that are relatively closer than like, say if Florida, one of the Florida teams and like the Leafs were playing going back between Toronto and Florida.
I think it definitely helps for sure. Like on the one hand, you have that like in-state rivalry that's going to make this like the ramp up the pressure more than anything else, especially because like out of the, like if you look at our history against Tampa Bay Lightning, especially the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs, it was when the Lightning were good and the Panthers were like just starting to get a little bit on their feet. You know, so we have a long history of the like getting our asses kicked by Tampa in the playoffs, and that ramps up the emotions so much. But I think like what you're saying, like it does, it is like an easier toll on the body and on like the mind because you're so close to home. Like you don't have to stick around. I bet they do stick around after the game to like stay at the hotel or whatever. But like if like the game was heinous enough and like you don't have to play again there, you can like easily just be like, I'm gonna go the fuck home. I'm going to sleep in my own bed because that was a rough game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, I don't know where that thought in my brain came from, but I was just kind of like looking at it and I was like, I wonder, like, I would like to, it would be interesting to actually like speak to one of the players on the team and see like their actual like thoughts about it. Like if they prefer, not prefer, but like if it's, like if it's any different, like actually to them, if they're in like a different, not even like mindset, but like if it does like physically, if it is like physically, like kind of mentally, I don't want to say easier because easier, like it's the playoffs, the freaking NHL playoffs, obviously it's not going to be easy, but like, I feel like maybe it would take less of a toll on like all that traveling.
I think it's also, like, Florida is unique in the sense that, like, I was watching this video. It was, like, Paul Bissonnette, Keith Yandel, and Matthew Tkachuk going to a, like, a race car thing. It was like a bit. And they were asking Matthew about like how he feels about like Florida, how it's like more easygoing. And Keith Yandel was giving his insight because he spent so much of his career in Florida. Yeah. And they were talking about how like, yeah, you have like your hockey fans in Florida, like you have like a, especially now there's like a big fan base, but they talk about how like you see like a player out and about and you're not gonna get stopped and like and like hounded for like oh talking about the game last night or whatever. It like players get to live a little bit more of a normal life than you see in like a bigger market like Toronto or like even like Boston or other places like that, you know? So I think like the mentality of it all, like it, like it's unique where even during playoff hockey I feel like the guys in both Florida and in, like for South Florida and in Tampa, like both teams can like they can relax a little bit even during when like they're on the world stage.
Yeah, like you could kind of go about your normal life more so. Like you could lose a game and be like, I want to go out to dinner and go out to that dinner, right? Like in Toronto, I feel like you have a bad game and you just kind of have to lock yourself up.
Yeah,
because like you go out and if someone recognizes you, especially one of the old men, they're ripping into you.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the questions. I appreciate it. But yeah,
I was just gonna ask how you're feeling about game two.
How am I feeling about game two? Yeah. So I'm feeling good right now. I think like we looked like the better team in game one, and it makes me hopeful for game two. Like, I was very tentative with game one because I was like, I've seen this so many times with like the Lightning and the Panthers going head to head in the first round and it not ending well for us. And so like I was a little hesitant, but after game one, like it reminded me like these are not the same teams they were before. Like, yeah, you might have like similar people on the teams, similar play styles, but it's not the same. It our special teams look good. Like we couldn't really generate too much on the power play, but our penalty kill looked really good against a team that does really well on the power play. Our 5-on-5 was really good. Like our goaltending and our defense was good. Like I feel good going into game two. I think like I don't want to like say we're gonna win it because like we're hockey fans, we're superstitious.
Yep.
But I'm not wallowing in despair or worried about like what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Right. But how are you guys feeling? Give me the rundown on the Leafs.
I hate the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Me too.
Okay, like so they lost their last, four games heading into the playoffs?
Oh boy. Like,
they played themselves into playing. Not that I wanted them to play Florida, but they lost themselves into playing Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, I hate the Bruins with so much ferocity. Like, I can't even really describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played like absolute dog shit. Like they came out and they were like, oh, the Bruins are going to be physical. We must hit every single player. And then one of the goals, Ryan Reeves has to hit a guy kind of late and ends up pinning the other defenseman. And it's a 2-on-1 and Boston scores. And the Leafs had like, I don't know, I swear like 8 penalties, maybe more. In that game, and the penalty kill's been shit, and Samsonov was Swiss cheese, and William Nylander wasn't playing, and he's played like literally every game since November of 2016, except for one where they scratched him because it was late last year, and they're like, he can just have a break as a treat. And now we're without William Nylander, and Sheldon Keefe doesn't seem like know what to do with the team.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
What a terrifying place to be.
Yeah. They're currently losing right now because they forgot that David Pastrnak, it's 2-1. They forgot that David Pastrnak exists, which is not good defensive choices. And like they literally let themselves get scored on with 7 seconds left in the period by forgetting David Pastrnak exists. And for some reason, John Tavares was the furthest one back in the defensive zone. And I'm like, where are my D? Oh
my God.
Yeah. So, not feeling good. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
We need William back.
For sure. I can't stand the, every single time I see anything about how like, oh, like Willie's not playing. Like there's comments on there being like, good, like we don't need him, blah 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 blah, and I'm just like,
we absolutely do.
Like dare I say, he is the glue that holds this damn team together.
He is, and he's like the biggest play driver on the Leafs.
Like, yeah, all anyone is concerned about how he doesn't go into. He doesn't hit people. He doesn't go into the dirty areas.
He doesn't need to. He has the puck.
Literally.
That's how it works.
Literally, 9 times out of 10, when the puck is going into the other zone, he's the one bringing it damn down there.
Yeah.
I can't. I love William Nylander, and I hate people.
Yeah. I mean, people don't understand that, like I don't, like, especially, like, old hockey fans, like, just don't seem to get that, like, if you're making plays, you don't need to be the physical player. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it makes no sense. Like, even the Panthers are a physical team. Like, you have your people like Alexander Barkov that they're not getting physical. They're making the plays happen.
Exactly. Like, he shouldn't have to because he has the puck. He's lifted a stick to get the puck as opposed to hitting someone and then getting stuck there and not getting picking the puck up afterwards, right? Like, that's my biggest thing is, like, they hit someone and they don't get the puck. So what's the point? Why don't you do a stick check instead?
Yeah.
I think, like, people seem to pick on, like, as an outsider perspective, like, people pick on him a little bit more. Because, like, can you tell me how big is he? Like, is he a big body?
He's, like, big-ish. Like, 6'1".
Okay, but is he, like, broad, too, or no?
Yeah, he's broader, but, like... I think the reason why people don't like him is, one, that contract thing, however many years ago that was now. And, two, the way he skates, he doesn't look like he's skating hard. No. It's just his skating style, but he's going quickly and he's trying hard. It just doesn't look like
I feel like the disconnect in people who, I feel like this is where, like, it's like, if you're not kind of a, if you're not someone who can see, like, the technical side of skating, I feel like it looks like laziness.
Yeah.
But when you look at it from, like, he is a technically, like, pretty perfect skater. He, like, he's absolutely insane. But it just looks so lazy because it's so effortless to him.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's like, that's just how, I don't know how the man was trained to skate, but that's just how he was trained. And it's just become it's second nature to him. It's like walking. So, like, he doesn't need to be looking like he's running out of breath, freaking running down the ice, because he can skate fast the most efficient way for him.
Yeah.
Which looks lazy, but it's not.
Yeah.
I love him. I am a William Nylander defender to the day that I die.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like all the Leafs fans I follow are just like, we are the William Nylander defense coalition.
Yes.
That's so funny.
We will not hear any slander. So yeah, the Leafs are bad. is basically where we're at. Yeah. I would also love if Sheldon Keefe, I don't know, tried anything different.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't think Reeves is working. I don't think that Matthews, Bertuzzi, and Domi are quite working. Like, yeah, they scored today, but still. I think Matthews and Marner need to be back together. And I'm concerned for John Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
He may need to be moved down. Oh. Or to the wing, I think. I think more the wing would be better. But
yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I know, like, it's the playoffs, but also just, like, fucking play around with the lines. I don't know. Remember especially that game?
Especially when the game was bad.
Yeah, literally. Like, if you're, like, getting beat this hard and, like, we're being bullied by the Bruins, like, I think you can just kind of say fuck it and just send people out. Do you remember that game? When was it last year that they played a game without any lineup?
Yeah.
And, like, they were just kind of, like, shuffling things around all game?
Yeah, it was just vibes.
It was.
Is how you get 17 too many men penalties. But yeah. they do that when the lines are the same too. So it's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, not that, like, you should be going into the playoffs without no line. Freaking shuffle things around, dude. Even if, like, your lines period to period change. If something doesn't work one period, and you go in and you're like, okay, like, let's shuffle this. Like, let's try this instead. See if this gets us anywhere.
Or, like, mm-hmm. Robertson has had a good game. Let's try him with Matthews for a shift. Like, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be time for Sheldon to go. I don't really like anybody that they would consider hiring, though. So it's fine for now.
Us,
yes.
But I think they need
qualified.
I am sorely underqualified. I can yap, and I think that's what they need.
I agree. I do think that they need someone who can yap. But, like, you'd have to out yap Mitch. So it'd be a hard job. It's a hard job.
It's a hard knock life.
Here's the thing. This is how you coming from a ex-teacher, this is how you deal with that. You give him a job, and then he's not going to yap, because if he yaps, he's going to lose his job.
True.
Easy peasy.
There you go. You got him covered. You have fixed, you will fix the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like,
I think I will.
Okay. I think we should probably talk about the other playoff matchups, because I don't know that we had them all.
Oh, yeah. No, we were going to, because they weren't all in there, all confirmed yet. That the matchups weren't confirmed last time we recorded, and we said that we were going to wait until this episode to do it. So, yeah.
Okay. So, what else have we got in the East? We have Islanders and Hurricanes, which I think we knew, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking the, like, going through the matchups and then talking what the standings are, or are we just doing the matchups by themselves?
I think just the matchups is good, and then we can talk about if we know anything about the games that occurred, because
okay,
that's a good question. Do we know anything about the games that have occurred between Islanders and Hurricanes?
I do. I love the Hurricanes. I am. Remember how I said my 1A, Florida, my 1B, Carolina Hurricanes, baby. Let's fucking go. Canes are leading with they won game one. Excuse my roommate's dog if you hear it them in the background. But Hurricanes beat the Islanders 3-1. Islanders outshot the Hurricanes, but, like, they
Freddie Anderson, where the hell did he come from? Where was this Freddie Anderson? That's my question.
I mean, he's thriving in Carolina, baby. That's what happened. I'm so sorry.
Also, the Leafs did not have D then. They kind of have D now, but they definitely did not have D then.
Yeah, that's fair. He has like an actual defenseman in front of him now. So I think that really helps. Let me see. Who are the goal scorers? I think Evgeny Kuznetsov that I am forgetting that he's on the Hurricanes, but he's on the Hurricanes.
Yeah, he's on his bird celly.
Yeah. Stefan Nosen and then Martin Natchez. That was for game one. It currently underway game two, and it's a 0-0 score as of now. I'm actively watching it while I'm tabbing between the Google Doc and the game, and they're playing 4-on-4 at the end of the fourth period. Now Carolina has a power play, and it's 1-0 Islanders. I'm so sorry.
I was gonna say I think I have something different, but I don't know when they scored. So you could just
they just scored. Okay. I think I was a little bit behind. Yeah. So yeah, it's 1-0 Islanders game two. But Carolina's on the power play, so we're hoping for good things.
They've had 4 penalties already. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. It's been a physical game.
All right. What else in the East? We have Capitals and Rangers. I heard that did not go well for the Capitals. Other than, like, I know it was 4-1, but it sounded like it was, like, bad.
It sounded from what I've seen, sounded like a bit of a beatdown with like people saying like, oh, the Capitals have been bad all season. Why are we surprised that they're bad in the playoffs?
Oh yeah, and I saw Matt Rempe got a charging penalty, and I was like, that was the least charge of all the hits I've seen him have this year.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, of all the ones to call.
Matt Rempe also scored a goal.
Good for him.
Love that for him. I didn't get to watch the game, the Leafs Boston game one. And I literally have not watched anything else. But is this going to be like a high penalty calling playoffs, do we think?
It varies game to game, ref team to ref team. Like some of the ones called on the Leafs also though were like just stupid, and then they're like on the other end of the play not calling some on Boston sometimes. And like it's just consistency, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ask. They do not have that ability, but it's all I ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It sounds like it's more penalties, but I really don't think it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't, like, I haven't seen too many things yet, like, overly called, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something, because I think someone said Wes McCauley was, like, roughing the Panthers game.
Oh, see, that's okay. He does not have any Panthers biases.
Mm.
He genuinely has an anti-Leafs bias.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we keep him away from you guys.
Yeah, like he would let the Bruins get away with murder. Like Brad Marchand could go out there and just absolutely murder anybody on the Leafs. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Max Domi, but like I don't blame you. He scored the goal today. I'm just very negative about him right now. Yeah. I'm mad. It's fine. Anyway, Brad Marchand could just absolutely murder anybody on the ice. And Wes McCauley would be like, what? Murder? No. There was nothing there. Yeah. That was a clean play.
That was a clean play. It's crazy. Also, not to interrupt you, Islanders just scored again. And I hate it here.
Boo. Also, I learned that with the stupid Lou Lamoriello rules, as in no beards, Kyle Palmieri looks like John Tavares light.
Does he really?
He does. I saw him he was in the penalty box of the first game, and I was like, John Tavares? Oh wait, no. Wrong jersey.
Oh my god. He kind of does. You're so right.
I never seen him without the beard. So it was like, I was like, who is that man?
Why did they do that to him?
Oh.
Lou Lamoriello needs to be like fined for acts like crimes against humanity. You took this man's beard and now he looks like that.
Exactly. He looks like that. He won't let oh my goodness, I lost his name. Matt Barzell have long hair anymore. That's like, creepy. What's with that? He's punishing us for no reason.
He really is.
Frankie Borelli, he worked for Barstool, but I'm pretty sure his dad just had like open heart surgery, and they're huge Islanders fans. And I don't know, I think they're at their pizza shop. And his dad has his little heart surgery pillow on his chest. And I'm sending this in the group chat, but when they just scored a goal, he's like holding it above his head.
Mm-hmm. Let me see.
There he is.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh,
that is really cute, actually. Anyways, hope that heart pillow doesn't see any more goals. Not gonna lie.
You're like, it's cute, however.
However.
No more.
Simply not another goal.
Not another. Okay, on to the West. Did I miss any series? No,
you're good.
I think it's because I forgot about the Leafs and the Panthers at the same time. I was like, we didn't talk about enough, but we've already talked about two. Anyway. Knights and Stars. Oh, I really love that it says lead series 0-0. Love that. Thank you, Sportsnet app. The Stars better absolutely beat up the Knights. Nobody likes the Knights.
Nobody likes the Knights.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and they just activated what's his face? Mark Stone again. LTIR.
I saw a tweet earlier today. I didn't find who it was from, but someone said like Mark Stone has been resurrected in April more times than Jesus Christ.
Genuinely.
Like, please stop.
Yeah. I'm like, it just feels like circumventing the cap, but also it's more like, why can't my GM do that?
Yeah. Literally.
I think my other thing is that the Leafs, if the Leafs did it, they'd immediately be like, absolutely not. We are getting rid of this loophole immediately.
No. Yeah. If the Leafs do it, then like everyone else is affected for sure. But I think like every other team is like, they have like, one thing that I like about hockey is like everyone has really like rigid morals. And then Vegas exists. With no morals.
Yeah, that's true. They're all like, oh, but we can't.
We can't do that. That's cheating. Like, and it's like, then you see Vegas, and it's like, Vegas is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna abuse every loophole I can, if it means winning a cup.
Mm-hmm. So it's their first game today. So, go Stars. Go, Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
That's literally all I have to say. Oh, Jason Robertson.
Yeah.
That's it. I cannot bring myself to cheer for Jamie Benn, though, so.
Mm.
I can't do it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then Kings and Oilers. Go Kings. Fuck the Oilers.
Yeah. So remember that time that they were supposed to be on a West Coast team? Go Kings.
Go Kings. Remember how I was tracking Arizona? Yeah, go Kings. That's all I have to say. I hate the Oilers.
Yeah.
I hate people talking about the Oilers. You know what? I think I wouldn't hate the Oilers if people stopped like talking about them like they I don't know, like comparing them to the Leafs and saying, "Oh, well, Zach Hyman didn't score 50 goals when he was a Leaf, and Cody Ceci actually hits the net with his shots now." And
yeah.
Like, if they didn't, also if they didn't have like 7 former Leafs on that team.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, how do you guys, like, is it just Leafs light?
It is. They also have Connor Brown, who didn't score very many goals this season.
It's Leafs light with Connor McDavid on the team.
Leafs of old, past Leafs with future Leaf.
I love the enthusiasm. I love the projection, the manifestation that you've put out there.
Yeah, where I see, but the thing is, like, Connor McDavid is such a like toe the line kind of guy. He will be an Oiler until he's like 35.
I don't know, sure. Man. I really like. I'm praying on the Oilers' downfall, not because I hate the Oilers, but because I feel like this is gonna be his breaking point. Like a first round exit again, like with like no success as an Oiler. Like I feel like we were talking about this midway through the season at some point. We were talking about how like it looks like Connor McDavid is reaching his breaking point with this team. And personally, I want to see it.
Yeah, I would love to see Connor McDavid explode.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Leon will have to leave first. Like Connor will not be the first one to do it.
Mm. Yeah. And I think Leon Draisaitl is on like his, like he's also like not happy, you know?
Oh yeah.
So like I think we might see this like actually break apart, and that's the only reason I'm rooting for them, because like nothing against Oilers fans, like I just think it would be kind of fun. And
I actually have lots against Oilers fans.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Everything against Oilers fans, my bad.
We're united right now. Only because our teams aren't playing each other, it's okay. Yeah.
As soon as they play each other, it's like it's over.
Yeah, it's actually a very good thing for the podcast that we're not.
Would we still be friends if I was still on the podcast while it was like last season?
Honestly, like last season, I don't even remember because I was still like riding the high of winning a playoff series for the first time since I was like 4. So yeah. Last season was different.
Okay. That's fair. Fair enough.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, they won a playoff season or playoff
series. Yeah.
Series. And I actually get to remember it. What's with that? I watched it happen.
Yeah.
I was just looking. Connor McDavid has 3 years left on his contract, and Drysdale has 2. Mm. And Connor McDavid will be then 30 when his contract ends. So.
Contracts can be amended.
Oh, yeah. And you can ask for a trade or demand a trade or just like. Like shit until you're are you fucking kidding me? Sorry, that was directed at the Bruins goalie. I don't even know which one's playing today. Anyway, yeah, that's true. Like just refuse to play on your shitty ass team.
Yeah. I also like I have a little bit of bias because last week we talked about book club and that book that we said we were gonna read.
Yeah.
The McStrom fanfiction book.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of like the Connor McDavid-esque player just like makes me feel so bad for Connor McDavid.
I do a little bit, but like I am such a Dylan Strome girly, I have less feeling bad for Connor McDavid, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I get it. Have you been reading the book?
I have not had a chance to yet, okay. But I was just already a Dylan Strome girly.
That's fair. You'll be more of a Dylan Strome girly when you read the book. Like, the emotions are really good. It's just so, like, it's good. I recommend it.
Okay, I'm so excited to read it. Okay, what other series do we have going on? Canucks and I almost said Panthers. Predators, the other P one.
Yeah.
The Canucks won, apparently. I don't know. I was asleep. They started playing at 10 p.m. I'm not awake then. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Sure, those are definitely hockey players. I'm looking at the people who scored. Pius Suter and Dakota Joshua are definitely... What?
Definitely hockey players, right?
Definitely hockey players. And then also noted former Leafs. Actually, Jason Zucker wasn't a Leaf. Noted former Leaf Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Scored.
Elias.
Oh, I don't know who wrote this recap, but they misspelled Quinn Hughes. There's only one N in Quinn in this.
Oh.
Shame on them.
They should be fired.
Yep.
You misspelled Quinn Hughes' name, like, fired immediately.
Exactly. It's not even that hard.
It really isn't.
Yeah. I'm cheering for the Canucks, but also because I'm mad at Ryan O'Reilly and I miss Luke Shen. So that is one.
Yeah.
I also forgot Jason Zucker existed. I'm not gonna lie to you.
There's a good number of NHL players who I just forget exist, and then they show up on a Nashville or a Minnesota or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you exist.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're a person.
You're a person. There was somebody whose name went by and I went, "What do you mean you're not retired yet?" And then I looked it up and they were like 30. I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
We had one of those. I forget who it was, but in one of the last two episodes, we were talking, someone's name came up. And we were just like, wait a second. He's still playing.
He's still playing? And then we look up his age and he was like early 30s, if anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys know how old, I don't know if I asked you guys this, Jake McCabe is?
No.
30.
Okay. I was so convinced that this man was like 34. Mm-hmm. He's only 30. He's turning 31 this year, but I was so convinced he was 34. I was like, this man is so old. And then I learned. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Jake McCabe.
Yeah. How old do you guys think Sidney Crosby is? Because he's the one that everyone calls grandpa.
He's 31.
Is he only 31?
No, that's not right. 36. I was doing my
he's
math
36,
wrong.
Yeah. He's 36.
I did my math the wrong way. I was like 87.
Me
how
and,
old is Ovechkin?
I think
how old
like,
is Ovechkin? He looks so old.
He does. I think he's a year older than Crosby.
Yeah, no, he's 38. But okay, looks like he's in his 50s.
His hair just turned white.
His hair just turned white. It just looks like...
Oh my god.
I sent you guys that, graphic the other day of all of a player from each team, and I was zooming into everyone and I was like, no way they painted Ovechkin's hair completely white, and I was like, no way, and then I looked up a picture of him and I was like, oh shit, he is completely gray.
Yeah, he really is. But to be fair, Ovechkin's always had an old face. Like, if you look at a picture of Alexander Ovechkin when he was younger, it looks like when you're watching, a movie where they have, a flashback of, a teenage year and they just use the same actor with, a bad wig.
Yeah.
It looks like that, you know?
I feel like Eastern Europeans, just in general, can kind of lean either way. They either have complete baby faces or they look old as hell.
Yeah, that's true.
The Leafs had another one of those reviews where the puck looks like it's in the net because it's in the goalie's glove, but it's not quite in the net, or maybe is in the net, but they can't see it just now. And why does this keep happening to us? That's all I have
love
to say.
That. Really, really need that.
Speaking of those reviews, though, the Avalanche and the Jets were like, playoff hockey? Absolutely. Would you like to have a heart attack? The final score was 7-6. It was, I think, 3-3 by the end of the first period.
Mm-hmm.
There was a span of like 2 minutes where three goals were scored. Like, just absolute chaos. And I believe the winning goal was one where they were like, is this over the line? And they had a lengthy review to determine that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that Leafs goal last year was also over the line in a similar fashion. So I just, I feel for you, Jets fans, but also I will not be cheering for either team. I would like them both to lose. Thank you.
That's fine. I agree with that take. But I kind of do feel for the Avalanche just because, like, how are you going to score 46 shots on goal and still lose the game? I mean, then again, Panthers have been there before.
Yeah. It's just like that, but that many goals between them is also just absolutely insane. We need to bring back playoff hockey that's like 12-10 games.
Mm. Fuck no. You want me to die?
Exactly. It's way more fun. Oh my god. Now they just had a puck absolutely roll all the way along the... It was the same play. It, like, okay, hit off, like, the dasher, the edge of the boards where the glass is.
Mm-hmm.
Three times, and then rolled, and then hit a stanchion and popped out.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. What is the luck of that happening? Anyway, sorry. I'm all for intense playoff hockey. I think it's way more fun when a game is high scoring.
Mm-hmm. It is really fun when it's high scoring. It's just like a heart attack, though. So,
like, it could be a heart attack at a 0-0 game too, right? So, I'd rather like goalie Swiss cheese on both sides, you know. It's just more fun that way. Am I missing a series? I feel like I'm missing one. One, two, three, four. No, we got them all.
We got them all. Beautiful.
Do we have any Stanley Cup predictions? I feel like they're always so hard to do. And like, remember how the Central Division and like the Western Conference just used to absolutely beat each other up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is what is the Eastern Conference is doing.
Yeah.
This year. They're just like, only one will survive. Everyone else will be absolutely beat up. And like, the Stanley Cup final is going to be so boring because the Western Conference team is going to absolutely rock the Eastern Conference one because they'll be so dead. Oh. Okay. What else happened? Oh, the NHL decided to actually spread out their games, but instead of being normal about spreading out their games, they were like, do you need a 12:30 p.m. Eastern time playoff game? Because we'll give you one of those.
I'm not gonna lie, I was all for it. Like, I kind of loved sitting down at 12:30, like, on a Sunday. Like, woke up a couple hours ago, like, ready to just sit down and watch some hockey and make that the entire day for me.
I think it's good for, like, the fans, but players playing at 12:30 when they normally play at 7 p.m., it's a bit much.
It is a bit much. I kind of forgot when how heinous 12:30 games are. As, yeah, like someone that works really in hockey.
Yeah.
It's then, really like, early. If you, like, practice, need to get to the facility, go get your little massage, go get your pizza. Get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. How do you get your lengthy pregame rituals in?
Exactly. Yeah. Your ice baths. How is I don't know, the superstitious ones going to walk up and down and around the concourse 8 times.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby and Jack Eichel. What are they doing? Where's like that, that's why neither of them played at 12:30. They were like, Sidney Crosby has it in his NHL contract. He's like, I will not play a 12:30 game.
This is the real reason why he didn't make the playoffs this year, is because he knew that the NHL was going to do this, and he was like, fuck no.
Exactly. That's not fair. He was the only one on his team playing. He was the one who was like, we are getting there, and nobody else was going to help him out.
No, that's true. Poor old man.
Yeah. Poor old man.
I say that as if he's not, like, only a few, like, what, how many years older than me? Like, 7, 8 years older than me?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, like, I feel like I've reached the point where I'm like, 26 is old. I am turning 26 in a month and a half. I'm like, this, that's old.
I'm like, how dare there be a 29-year-old player on my team? Meanwhile, I'm 29 years old. Yeah, exactly.
Like, 29, you're getting up there. You're in your old years. You are going to sign a grandpa contract soon.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go retire somewhere.
Yeah, it's like, meanwhile, life is just getting started for us normal folk.
Yeah, literally.
I have a petition. We change the name of the 35-plus contract to the grandpa contract permanently. <Yeah. laughs>
It's the what's it called? Their contracts have like a senior
retirement contract.
They have a senior citizenship discount for whatever team they sign with.
Yeah.
I was shitting on Bertuzzi and he just scored, so.
Oh. Well, it worked. So.
It works. Yeah. What else? Record-setting year for NHL engagement. I said this before we started recording. I really thought it meant that somebody did this, tracked the stats, and was like, lots of people got engaged this year. Which is way funnier, and if I followed more hockey players, I would do that, but I can't.
Mm.
There's too many of them. I don't know enough of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who I know, and once they go to a team that I don't follow, they're out of my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if they go to a team I do follow, it's like, oh, you exist again?
Exactly. I unfollowed a bunch of people who used to be Leafs.
Same. Last
week. I was like, I don't care about you, actually, Tyson Barrie. Well, I don't know why Tyson Barrie's been there for like 3 years. That's a real question.
Who did I unfollow?
Tyson Barrie is valid.
I have followed some of the ex-Marlies that are playing in, like, Europe now.
Do you still follow Timoshov?
He was your boy. Oh my god, do you think I'm gonna unfollow Dima ever? No, I love him.
I'm not gonna lie, I did.
Love, actually, do I still follow him? It would be really embarrassing if I said that I didn't. I think I still follow him.
Yeah, and, like, Kapanen popped up, and I was like, I had no idea I still followed this man. I unfollowed
him.
Yeah, there's just like,
what is Cap even doing?
He was a Blue this year, I believe.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure he actually deleted Instagram, so I don't know why I'm going to. Oh wait, no, never mind. No, it didn't. Wait, did he?
I have no idea. He hasn't posted a lot, which is why, like, I was reminded at some point that he existed, and I was like, I need to unfollow him. There's no reason anymore. Okay, so record engagement is record ratings. Most watched regular season since the 15-16 season. And most watched regular season on cable in 30 years in the U.S., which is just kind of funny to hear. I don't know why.
That's actually kind of crazy because I feel like most people don't have cable anymore.
They've
I think
more
people are starting to get back
it.
Cable. It's, yeah, that too. But I feel like a lot of people got back cable, even just like a couple of channels, just for sports because sports apps are freaking ridiculous prices to pay for. It's like $100 a year to pay just for ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
And we have this lovely thing. Actually, I guess it's not we. It's like soccer. MLS Soccer has MLS Pass on Apple TV. So you can't watch your local soccer team.
Yeah.
Except for the occasional time they're on your local station. I'm like, this is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer is not a well-watched sport in North America in general. North America, the MLS is not a well-watched sport in North America in general. Lots of people watch the European leagues, but they're easier to watch. It's easier to actually watch them.
Yeah, they're actually, like, on television.
Yeah, or, like, on a service that works and is not a pain in the ass. As much of a pain in the ass. Okay, what else? There's just, like, lots of things about average viewers and all that. They said, in arena, the NHL set an all-time record for total attendance in a single season with 22,873,142 fans taking in NHL games live during the season, which is 97% capacity, which is honestly not bad.
Yeah.
And it also says more than any other in the league's 106-year history. So that's fun.
That's really epic, actually.
I think part of it is, like, Ottawa. Like, I think Ottawa can really affect attendance because, one, they had a shitty-ass owner. Two, it's, like, the arena is a good 45 to 50-minute drive from downtown Ottawa. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere. But they have a new owner, and the team is fun. And they're fun to watch again. And it doesn't seem like it's absolute toxicity there.
Yeah.
There are no scandalous Uber rides or anything.
There are no people, like wives going after each other.
Oh my god, I forgot about that too.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Ottawa has a big effect on that. Plus, having Mullet Arena, so you, like, actually did end up maxing out the capacity of Mullet Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Where you wouldn't necessarily have done that at an NHL rink. Because people were like, well, I gotta experience hockey here. Or they were having, like, college nights or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the biggest factor, frankly. Because I think everybody else has pretty not bad attendance.
Yeah. It helps that, like, you're, like, the ones that used to struggle with attendance, which is, like, your non-traditional hockey markets, like, Florida and Carolina, have been up, like, drastically since they got under new ownership, new GMs, new, like, hockey on the ice is actually working, you know?
He's been better, too. Yeah. See, that's a big factor literally everywhere. Oh, my God. Okay. There was also... This is kind of irrelevant to this, but there was a tweet by what must have been a teenager that said, nobody would even care about the Leafs if they weren't good. And I was like, oh, she has no idea. This child has no idea.
Oh, like, my God, the Leafs
sell out the rink when they are the most garbage hockey you've ever seen for, like, 8 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, this is definitely a child. They have no idea.
It also, I saw, like, on a similar wavelength, like, the prices for Leafs games is ridiculous, and they still sell out, like every single game is, like, insane to me. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's also funny when you see tweets like, this guy talking about, like, oh, I'm going to the Leafs-Panthers game in South Florida for, like, $30. $30 for my ticket. And it's, like, I just... Why are you bragging about how expensive your tickets are?
That's the thing I don't get. The fact that it's literally cheaper to fly to Florida and go see a game in Florida doesn't have anything to do with how cheap the tickets are in Florida. It has to do with how expensive the tickets are in Toronto.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that's something to brag about, buddy. I think that's why you have, like, any hockey game, any professional hockey game, you're gonna hear the crowd, but it's much quieter at a Leafs game than it is at, like, a Florida Panthers game nowadays.
Like, it is so quiet in there. It's just, like, absolutely dead. Like, I was at a Leafs game in the fall that I got, like, I got to go through my work, right? And I was sitting pretty close to the bench. Like, really close to the bench, actually. And then I was at, like, a PWHL game. And it was louder at the PWHL game in Toronto with, like, a 1,500-seat capacity arena. Because... Yeah. It was actually people who, like, care about hockey.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't count how many times I've seen videos and tweets of people saying, like, oh, like, I went to the Leafs game and they scored or they did whatever and I cheered and, like, people were giving me dirty looks for cheering.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was literally, like, there were guys behind me who were talking about basically their tax circumvention. I really wish I had, like, taken a picture of who they were. But I heard that they worked for, I think it was TD Bank. So, but it was just, like, that's what they're talking about the whole game. And I'm like, you don't care?
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat watching the Leafs. Excited as all heck. And, like, that was the other thing. Like, my boss who took us. Or, like, who was coordinating it, was asking the people who took us. They were like, is it okay if we wear our jerseys? Because, like, we'll be in the section where everybody wears their suits and nobody wears their jerseys.
Mm. Yeah. That's kind of crazy that you have a section of suits. Like, that's, like, literally insane. You have people in Florida shirtless wearing, like with, like, cats painted on their bellies. And you have a section for suits at a Leafs game. That's insane.
I would rather stand outside in the square watching the game on the big screen with people that actually care and, like, are actually loud outside of the arena than pay $300 for nosebleed tickets.
Yeah, like, also, the nosebleeds are usually better, I will say, because it's people who want to see the Leafs and are willing to pay, like, $300 for a nosebleed ticket, as opposed to the, like, seats close to in the 100s, where it's just, like, all it is business people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And their suites. So, yeah.
Yeah, the only time I've been at, like, I'm relatively cheap when it comes to hockey tickets, like, even Panthers tickets that are, like, historically have been pretty affordable. The one time I went to, like, a game where I was sitting in the 100s for, like, the Panthers game, it was with Gabby. Shout out to ex-producer Gabby. But, like, it was so hype, you know? And it's I can't get, like, I can't fathom just having, like, that, not having a big enthusiasm in your lower bowl, you know? It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like, I think that's part of the reason why, like, the Leafs, like, don't necessarily, I don't want to, like, paint a brush, but, like, don't necessarily struggle on road games because their fans travel because you can't afford to see them at home. So you have, like, a bigger home crowd in, like, Edmonton or Calgary than you do in Toronto by sound. Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, frankly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of why, like, I think also why, like, Leafs fans are so hated, like, around the league, I think, is because, like, they're everywhere. You see them at, like, every single, like, away game. Like, there was a period of time where if the Leafs were playing the Panthers, you were seeing more Leafs fans in the crowd than Panthers fans.
Snowbirds, too. That's a double whammy, but,
yeah. True.
Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. And there's also, like, history as to why we're there's a lot of Leafs fans in the West as well, based on, I don't know, my dad knows it better than I do, but it's like based on the teams that were in the league at the time. So if you were literally grandfathered into the Leafs, as many of us were, actually, I think I was great grandfathered into the Leafs, but that's okay. Anyway, you like, it makes more sense on the West Coast as to why some of the, like, there's a lot of Leafs fans in Alberta and Saskatchewan and BC. That's enough bonus Leafs content, I guess. okay, most goals by type. This is kind of interesting. Austin Matthews had the most goals by wrist shot. Unsurprising, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
With 36, McKinnon had 29, Panarin had 28, and there were four players tied with 27.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Matthews is mostly wrist shot because he has such a deceptive wrist shot. But yeah. He had, like, I don't know, he was creative this year. He had some backhands. He had some slap shots. Then Mitch Marner was like, I will give it to you. Just be ready.
Yeah.
I feel like that he doesn't even need to say that anymore. Zach Hyman had the most backhand goals with 10, which also tracks with, like, the way Zach Hyman scored goals on the Leafs, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
more of his goals were backhand. Like, he was doing moves to deke out the goalie and then would finish with a backhand up high, which makes sense. And JT Miller had 7. I always forget about JT Miller.
Me too.
And then Steven Stamkos had the most slapshot goals with 17. Bouchard and Doughty, that's two goalies, two defensemen, were tied at 2 with 11. Matthews had 10, and so did Roman Josi. Which, again, like, it makes sense that D would have more slapshot goals.
Yeah, because they're shooting from the point.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, like, more likely to hit, like, a defender in front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Or get, like, what is an assist on them too. So, and most snapshot, I don't know how to describe the difference between a wrist shot and a snapshot, but basically, like, a snapshot exists in the place between a slap shot and a wrist shot. So instead of having, like, a full, like, scoop and twist with your wrist, if that makes sense, like a wrist shot does, a snapshot is kind of like a slap shot, but you don't have as much of a wind up, so you'll only go, like, mm-hmm. a little bit, maybe half a foot max. So that's what a snapshot is. Leon Draisaitl had the most goals with 19, followed by Aho with 18, Larkin with 17, Sam Reinhardt with 15, and then there were three players tied with 12. And those are those, like, you see them a lot, like, on power plays too. Those are, like, the quick little ones. That's a fun little breakdown.
Yeah, there's more. There's more underneath.
Oh my goodness, there is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why is it not letting me see it?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go for it.
So, goals by type, the ones that were tipped in on, it describes a tip in as a shot deflected off the player's stick, not his body. Chris Kreider with 15, Mikko Rantanen with 11, Sidney Crosby with 10, Valeri Nichushkin with 9. And then three players were tied with 8, with Brock Besser, Zach Hyman, and Sam Reinhart.
Not going to lie, I thought Natushkin was a goalie.
It's a very goalie name, you know?
It is. Like, I really thought he was on Colorado for a bit. I thought he was one of Colorado's goalies.
That's so funny. After that, we only have, like, a couple more. It's deflected. Zach Hyman is the only one here with 4.
Yeah, he used to butt a lot as a Leaf. He was like a butt leg kind of goal guy sometimes.
If it wasn't going in off Zach Hyman's butt, where was it even going?
Yeah.
The hockey ass that never quits, for sure.
Yeah.
There were 3 players tied with 1 Michigan goal: Connor Bedard, Andrei Svechnikov, and Trevor Zegras. And then there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people tied with 1 between the legs goal. Zach Benson, Morgan Frost, Cole Gutman, Dakota Joshua, Dylan Larkin, Kirill Marchenko, Mitch Marner, Brock McGinn, and Gabriel Vilardi.
I believe Matthew Tkachuk was not on that list.
Like, I know.
That is his goal style.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, like, if I think about somebody who's scoring a between-the-legs goal, it's Matthew Tkachuk.
For sure.
Yeah. I also, like, I feel like there was a... Alexander Barkov did a between-the-legs goal this year that was really impressive. It was, like, early on in the season, and there was, like, people saying, like, oh, is this the goal of the year already? But I guess he just, like, went in between the legs and skated through a player and then scored. So it didn't count as a between-the-legs goal.
I see. Technicalities.
Technicalities.
So Buffalo fired their coach. Do I remember who it was? No. I think maybe Don Granato, but I'm not positive.
I think you're right.
The thing is, Buffalo keeps firing coaches. I cannot keep track.
Mm-hmm.
And they have hired Lindy Ruff, who was not a good Devils coach, or was for like 1 year, and then was not a good Devils coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he has also very notably been the Buffalo Sabres coach before, and for a long ass time. Like, yeah. A long ass time. Hold on, let me pull this up because it's insane. I don't know how they think he can fix them.
I know how they think he can fix them. I looked it up because I was like, this makes no sense. He was their most successful coach.
Well, that's what happens when you coach from 1997 to 2013.
That makes sense. He's also the last coach to lead the team to the playoffs.
That's funny.
Yeah.
They were feeling nostalgic and they said, you know what we need? We need to go back in time.
Yeah.
We need to bring him back. Because he will fix us, clearly.
Back to the future? No, no.
Like, this man... I can't believe, like, he started coaching the Sabres in 97 and then was only fired in 2013. Well, not even in 2013, like the early part of the 2012-2013 season. So it was probably still 2012. Like, that's so fucking long. But I don't know if it's accurate or not, but like, I think like the league keeps like firing and, you know, carouseling around their coaches more frequently than they had in the past. Like, I think we're at the point where Sheldon Keefe is like the third longest tenured coach, and he's been the Leafs coach for what, 5 years now, 6 years now? I've lost track. Not that many, though, is the whole point.
Isn't it also... We literally just talked about him.
Don Cooper?
Yes.
He's the longest tenured one. He's pretty long, but, like, it makes sense. They've done well.
Yeah.
Man, if they fire him, like, the man is immediately being rehired by somebody.
No, easily.
He's a great coach, yeah. 2012 was when he was hired. So, we're at, like, 12 years? 11 years? All right. Marc-Andre Fleury has decided that he is playing one last year and then retiring. Congrats to him. I also, not going to lie, don't trust him. I feel like he could just be playing one big elaborate prank on us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Knowing Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, congrats on your retirement, maybe, but also, I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Did you see the prank that he pulled the other day where he was like, like, oh, one of his teammates like put like a whole bunch of toilet paper on his car, like maybe like one or two rolls of toilet paper. He took the tires off of this man's car, like took the tires off of his car, like shackled them to the
underneath of the car.
Underneath of the car, and then had like a flower bed with flowers on it on top of the hood of the car.
I don't remember who it was, but the kid walks up to the car and he immediately turns around. He goes, "I need a ride home." And then he goes asking other players. They're like, "Oh, like, yeah. Are you going my way?" And they're like, "No."
That's so funny.
This man is calling me over right now. Like, I'm not dealing with this today.
Yeah. That's so funny. He said something to the effect of, "Don't we have better security here?"
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Okay. It's playoffs. You know what that means. Wag jackets.
Oh, I love wag jacket season.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. I do kind of have one for Carolina, but I don't think it's, or not Carolina, Capitals, but I don't think like it's actually what they had.
Was it the t-shirts?
No, I think it's just what Dylan Strome's wife had for their daughter. So I will send that in our group chat because it's just a screenshot of her Instagram. If I didn't delete it already. Oh, I didn't. But yeah, so okay. Do we want to talk through all of them and then rank them?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. Boston. I am not good at describing things, so feel free.
Okay.
It's a bomber jacket. Pretty like an actual bomber fighter pilot jacket is what it is, with the Boston logo. Yeah. It's brown, little bit of yellow in there. I think it looks nice. I really like it. Fuck Boston.
I think it's very classy for sure. Like it's a classy jacket. You could get around like wearing this like regularly, you know? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give them minus points, though, for making me think that there was a first hab of the Bruins, because the designer is in the photo with them, and I genuinely just thought that this was some guy's boyfriend, and I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, I literally, like, for a second, I was, like, trying to, like, because they have two pictures. They have the picture of him with all of the wives and girlfriends, and then they have a picture of like all of the wives and girlfriends sitting with their like back turned, so you can see their the names on the back and the numbers. And I was like searching for the back of his head, like trying to find like who is dating this man. And then he wasn't there.
Minus points for queer baiting.
minus points for queer baiting for sure.
Okay, moving on to Jets.
Oh, I would love to describe these. Okay. So the Jets have a beautiful cropped puffer jacket. It is white with their logo. It has like a satiny like number on the back. It's just a gorgeous logo. It has the hockey stripes along the side with the like collar. Has like the nice like the three colors, and the sleeves have like on the shoulders have like a little bit of coloring as well, so it's not all stark white. Mm-hmm. And I personally think these are my favorite jackets out of like all of the wives' jackets.
They are very cute. Yeah, I believe that these jackets are made from the actual jerseys.
I think so too. Yes,
inside is soft. Oh my god.
Yeah, my only complaint is that, like, the crop is right at the number.
Yeah, I wish it was a little bit longer.
A touch longer. Like, literally, like, not even half an inch, and it would be 10 times better.
Me, personally, I like the crop that short. I think it, like, looks really cute, actually. Because I think if you crop it, like, a little bit lower, it's, like, an awkward crop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The jerseys need better number placement is what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. It's not the jacket's fault. It's the jersey's fault.
Yeah. Yeah, we blame the jersey for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a really... Because, like, you see Lexi Brown talk about it all the time that... Or not all the time, but, like, pretty often that it's kind of like a taboo thing to wear, which we'll kind of get to in these next few here. But it's kind of taboo to wear your husband or boyfriend's jacket or jersey as a wag. Which I feel like this is just like a really cute kind of like play. Like you're wearing their jersey technically, but in jacket form.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I think it's so cute.
It is really cute.
It reminds me of the ones like that they were doing that that woman was doing for the NFL.
Oh, Kristen, whatever her last name is, I think her name. Yeah, those are really cute jackets.
Okay, I love the Canucks jackets. They're like an old school hockey jacket. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, this is just like what a 90s dad would be wearing at the rink.
For sure. It has a very like rain jacket kind of vibe to it. It's a little bit oversized. It has the like stripe going all around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I like how they put Canucks like over the logo. Like they put the, like a little goes up and then down again. I don't know how to triangular almost format. And I think it looks really nice.
Yeah,
it is. I like the detailing on it. Like they have their husband, boyfriend, they have their signature on the collar. And then it's not shown in any of these pictures, but on one of the sleeves, it has either their pet's names or their kids' names. And then underneath the jacket, underneath the collar in the back, it has their name.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so it cute. Is and really it's, such cute. A, it's such a good keepsake.
Mm-hmm. I personally would wear these, like, if I was a Canucks fan.
It's they remind me of old racing, like, racing jackets, NASCAR jackets.
Yeah, I actually have, like, a Leafs jacket that I bought when, I don't know, when some store was closing. That's, like, a similar kind of vibe to this that I love. It's just, like, a tad too small, so I can't wear a sweater under it. So it's just too cool to wear, too cool to wear into the rink.
Okay.
But I hate these.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
They're so bad. I am a Carolina fan, but they fuck these jackets up, dude. Like They split Carolina and they didn't split it like the word Carolina, but they didn't split it down the middle. They it says car and then Olina on the other side.
Like, yeah. It's an 8-letter word. Split it down the damn middle.
That's what I was going to say.
And none of them are buttoning it. You know that. So, like, why wouldn't you split it evenly?
Yeah, it's just, it's Carolina. It's awful. And then the numbers are spaced badly. They have cause chaos on the pockets, but they're off-center as well. It's not, like, lined up properly.
I did not even notice that. Yeah. The cause is really far off. It's not parallel.
They're not a picture of the back of them, but I hate the writing on the back too. So the writing on the back has their player's name and number, but the name is like cursive, but like a weird curve. I don't know. It's terrible. This entire 0 out of 10. I love the shoes though.
The shoes are
custom Nikes, absolutely fantastic.
The custom Nikes are fantastic. This this jacket had so much potential and they ruined them. Like, I'm
black and red is so good too. Like, black and red are some of the easiest colors, and you had to go and it's way too busy on the front. Why is there so many things? Why is everything spaced badly? Why does it have to say cause chaos on the pockets? Put it on the sleeve.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just a lot. So it's just too much. 0 out of 10.
Zero.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Panthers.
I want to just read out Lexi Lifford Brown's tweet. She said, "The Panther women are serving head-to-toe Canadian tux look, and for that, I thank them. It's giving, I'm here to repair the Zamboni, paint a wall or two, and cheer for my man. As a set, I'm giving this 8/10, and I want the link for the pants." I agree, Lexi. I love these, like, little setups. I think, like they had potential for more, you know? I think with, like, the color scheme that the whole theme for our playoffs this year is you have to wear red. So I think like a little red number, like maybe a little cropped red number would have been really cute. But I kind of love like the whole, like you have a whole set. You have like the pants, you have the jacket. It's just, it's cute. I love it. It's giving.
I think this is something on like a lot of jackets where sometimes like it's like, oh, like I kind of want to wear, like you could rewear this, you could just wear this out and it'd be fine, because like I love that they have the number on the back, but it doesn't have their guy's last name giant on the back, so it's like you could kind of wear this almost is just kind of on a star on the sleeve. And like it's pretty small, so it's like you could wear this more nonchalantly, like you could just throw that on, and I love that. And I love the number on the pants, like it's just so cute.
My only thing is agree that like you were playing a blue team no matter what. Why would you go with blue when you have like the red is, the Panthers red is really nice. Like, yeah, why not go with that?
Yeah, that that's my only complaint. That's the only reason why I like agree that it's like an 8 or a 9 out of 10 rather than a 10 out of 10. Like, it's not like it, like a cute little red number would have been epic. You wear the red lipstick with it, like would have been giving so much more.
Okay, Islanders. I hate these.
I'm so glad you said that. I despise them. They look so, they're just like the Islanders blue with like a little, like you have like Staten Island on one of the sleeves, you have New York on one of the pocket embroidered onto one of the pockets, you have the number on the bottom pocket, and then you have New York on the other sleeve, and it's
a little repetitive.
It's just not cute.
No.
I would not want to wear this, ever.
Yeah, me either. Like, and, like, the blue and the orange,
it's just,
like, you didn't need to go with, yeah, like, there was things you could have done to make this better.
You could have done a white jacket and then done blue and orange accents. You didn't need to do that bright blue full jacket and then everything else in the orange.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't love it. Also, Long Island looks so freaking weird on the sleeve like that. Like,
it does.
Like, you, no, it just did not need to be there.
Yeah.
No, I don't like them.
Did you guys see these Rangers ones?
I haven't. This is the first time I'm seeing these. Oh my god.
They're battle jackets, which I love it. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, I don't love it.
I love the concept. I don't think it executed quite right. I should rephrase.
I think, yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. Like, the concept is cool.
I wish that, because you can tell that these are I can't think of the word. It looks like they were made on a Cricut machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That material, I wish they painted. I wish it was all paint.
Yes, yeah. Paint would be so much better. And then, like, I really don't like the, like, New York Rangers Unknown Pleasures embroidery. Like, I don't like the way it looks. It's too long. Why does it go over the, like, seam?
Yeah, at the bottom? I agree.
Yeah, I don't understand that part.
I also
like, I love kind of, like, the patchwork and, like, the grunginess of it. Mm-hmm. I think, like, but there's some things, it just could have been done better. But they are thin.
Yeah.
I also don't like the, like, when it zooms into, like, the studs. Like, the studs are not placed very well.
Mm-mm. No, this genuinely looks like someone was DIYing this.
Yeah.
Like, someone
not in definitely. A good way. Like me, yeah. I was just doing this in my spare time as opposed to a professional, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I think again, it would have looked so much better painted on. And also, why, like, there's this part. There's some parts that just go outside of the studs under the last name. And mm-hmm. I just attention to detail. Let's go. I love the numbers. The numbers are sick. Yeah. I like the, like, kind of off kilter a little. But again, paint. It would have been so good with paint. Mm-hmm. Which, like, okay. I guess when you have, I don't know, however many jackets, but we have that many. I guess you can't take the time to. But you knew that you were going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say the Rangers have known for a long ass time that they were going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like get that ball moving sooner, as opposed to mm-hmm. like Lauren Oshie, who is willing the Capitals into existence.
Yeah,
yeah. I will say one thing that they're not that they. I haven't seen like the Wags actually wear these jackets out for the Rangers, but they have been like pictured wearing. Instead of in lieu of actually wearing the jacket, they're wearing these old school Rangers jerseys that are customized. Like they're the jerseys that the Rangers wore the last time they won the cup, but they've been customized to be a little bit more stylish and a little bit more like have the actual like current players information on the back. And cool. It looks really stylish for like it's where that concept that we were talking about earlier with the mm-hmm. like Wags actually wearing jerseys to the games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool. Actually.
It's I'm pretty sure it's kind of like a quote unquote tradition for the Wags, the Rangers Wags, to wear jerseys. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's just like two specific games, or if it's like just. Like an option, but I'm pretty sure it's tradition for the Rangers Wags to be like, oh, like we're gonna wear jerseys now.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa, I wish we had like the full thing for Tampa.
Yeah.
But this was the only thing I saw. Unless,
yeah.
Boring.
They're pretty standard leather jackets, basically.
It's stylish, but like it's giving Blue Lives Matter.
It is.
It just like the white stripe, blue stripe, yeah. White stripe,
right. On the black. Black stripe, yeah. Yeah.
It's giving so right. Blue Lives Matter.
Yeah. So you can't lose to a Blue Lives Matter team. Like, that's dope.
No. Yeah. I showed it to my boyfriend and he was like, not the Blue Lives Matter team. Like, me and I were on the same wavelength. It did not look good.
Yeah. Okay. Dallas. I don't know about Dallas.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings. I don't know. Like, what is the thing? There's this weird cuffy thing on the sleeve, on the wrist. Don't love that.
I don't think that's the cuffy sleeve. I think she's just wearing a green long sleeve shirt underneath.
Cuff. If you zoom into the second photo, you can, like, see it on the one that's hanging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's like an oversized I think it's denim.
It is denim.
Light green and like cropped. And it's at least it's painted on. I will give them that. Or it looks painted. I can't exactly tell. But I don't know. It's just, you're right. With the way they do the sleeve there, it looks silly. It should be, you should roll them.
I also don't love that it says Texas hockey.
I'm like, not. I wish it didn't. Yeah, I do wish it had, like, it said, like, Dallas Stars instead of, or, like, it had the logo instead of Texas hockey. But I kind of fuck with these. I'm not going to lie. I love a good green number.
I will say this is something that, again, you can, like, you could wear kind of nonchalantly. Again, like, you could just kind of rock up in this. And I want to see the other side. Because there's something on the other side of the front, but
yeah,
I can't see it. Also, what's her face's outfit eats in this picture? Yeah.
I do love the paint splatter too. The paint splatter effect that they added, like, I think it looks really cute. It gives like some more dimension to the jacket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a bad time to ask? Is that Tyler Sagan? Is his hairline receding like that?
It really took me a hot minute and staring really hard to decide, because that doesn't look like him.
I think it is.
But I think it is.
I don't remember what his wife looks like, so.
He has a 5 head now.
He does. What happened?
I'm so sorry.
That receding hairline, man.
I could make a joke. I cannot make this joke. I'll tell it to you guys later. I don't want to get canceled.
I'm on the fence with these jerseys, is my final verdict.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm partial to Jets and Canucks, I think, the most.
And then the Capitals. That you sent in the group chat. I'm pretty sure those are the jackets.
So they are. Okay. I was not sure. So they have like a white. I don't even know. What kind of jacket is that?
I don't know. It's one. It's in like nylon where it goes. You know?
Yeah. And like, I can't tell. This is a child's jacket we're looking at. I should specify, I believe. So I cannot confirm how this sits on an adult.
I'm pretty sure they're long.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're cropped. But it has the last name at the top, and then the Capitals Eagle logo with the stars in it, which is like a pretty sick logo.
Yeah.
And then like Capitals across the bottom, and then the number.
Which, like, the Capitals along the bottom is sideways, and I don't love it. It's just too busy.
Yeah, I think it's too much on the back. Like, you should have, like, put the number on the front with what you've done. And, like, you don't even really need the Capitals. Like, just the Eagles probably okay.
If you're going to do the Capitals like that, where it's, like, the... That... whatever, that... I feel like this was definitely, like, cut from a jersey or something and thrown on the jacket. I feel like if you were going to do something of that sort, that would look sick if it was on a smaller scale, which, again, if it is cut from an actual jersey, it would have been harder to do this, but you could definitely make it yourself. I wish it was on a smaller scale wrapped around the sleeve.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That would have been sick.
Because the sleeves
look, like, empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will also say the vibe that it's giving me is, like, kind of like the Washington Capitals themselves. It's giving me, like, old vibes, like, it's not very trendy for, like, this period of time. It is giving more millennial,
is what the Capitals are giving also, so
yeah, for sure.
All right, Arizona will continue to be a topic, I'm sure, forever. So the Utah owner has trademarked some names. which are, he also did say that they might not have a name the first year, much like the PWHL.
Oh.
So Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, Utah HC, which would be like Hockey Club, and Utah Hockey Club.
I have a question. Was Fury, Utah Fury, that's giving me women's hockey.
Yeah, so the Toronto Furies.
Okay, that's yeah. what I thought. Yeah.
Yes, that's fair. I missed, that was a good name. They did not have a good logo, but it was a good name.
Mm-hmm.
They could have had a really sick logo for that, but they did not. Anyway, yeah, they're fine, basically. They're not good, they're fine.
I think all these names suck.
They haven't really...
No, we were saying last episode that like it's such, there's a lot of natives out there and there's so much like important things to the land that like I really think that they need to kind of reach out and like to the community for help with these names.
Yeah, because, yeah, I think honor them more.
This sucks. Yeah. And also with their other sports teams, they've had the easiest fucking time naming them. Utah Jazz, Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they came from, what did we say, Louisiana, we found that out?
Yeah, it was from New Orleans. They were originally a New Orleans team and they got relocated to Utah.
Yeah. So they kept the name. Easy peasy. Not much thinking there. Their MLS team is Salt Lake City
FC. Yeah.
FC. So it's like not much thinking there. Where it's like this, you kind of need to do some thinking. Got to put your thinking caps on. You can't just like, these are names that you ask a 8-year-old, like, I'm going to make up a hockey team and like, this is what they're going to be called. Blizzard. Venom. Fury is an okay name, but it's giving me women's vibes. And I don't know if that's like, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't Furies and like mythological Greek mythology, aren't they? They're females, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, really pushing me that way. But yeah, no. None of this. Reach out to your community and figure something out. Thank you.
Like, pretty lame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A really good question is, will they give former Coyotes players an opportunity to opt out of Utah and go into free agency? Especially, the biggest question comes from those with no move contracts.
Mm-hmm.
No move clauses, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. I don't know.
I have been thinking, like, my brain has been working overtime on this. So I'm just, like, sitting here asking many questions. Every couple of days, like, a new answer comes out. And I'm like, okay, well, there's the answer to that question. But then it still begs, like, do they get an opportunity if they're like, hey, y'all, the team that you're contracted to play on kind of exists, but, like, actually not really. And we're moving all of the assets to Utah. Like, what if they don't want to?
Yeah. I think they, like, the players deserve the right to opt out of going to Utah, but mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to get the opportunity. I don't think the NHL will be that kind.
I agree.
Mm-mm. I feel like, yeah, agree. One of the first questions I had was, would they adopt the Coyotes draft picks? Because this is very interesting, because I was reading up on the history of like relocating teams and like expansion teams and whatnot, because it's kind of like, which is it? Is it an expansion team technically, or is it a relocated team? Where technically it's an expansion team, but they're almost treating it as a relocation, kind of, but not really at all.
This is like such a unique situation.
It is. So the NHL put out the other day that the Coyotes franchise is transferring its hockey assets, including its full reserve list, roster of players, and draft picks, and its hockey operations department to Utah, which is the part where it's a relocation team. But Utah is starting as an entirely new franchise, and the history of the Coyotes will stay behind, which is, like, that is a big part of relocation teams, is the history follows, where this one, the history is staying, which this is just all very interesting, because the Coyotes owner, Alex Morello, whatever his name is, yeah, he's keeping the rights to the team name as well. This is very interesting. As well as an option for reactivation in Arizona for 5 years under condition that an arena is time frame. So it's kind of like this whole mixing situation where it's like, I don't know, like, what the hell is going on? Does anyone know what's going on? Because I sure as hell don't.
Yeah. There, he, like, put out a statement saying something to the effect of, like, our first step is, like, trying to win the land auction in Phoenix. And it's like, you are a con man. Like, I don't trust a word that you say. Mm-hmm. As much as I want the Arizona Coyotes to live on for the fans' sake, I don't think it should happen under him. No. I believe that, like, if someone could buy the assets from him, I think it would be a better time.
Say the. I think the mayor of, I don't remember what city it was in Arizona, but one of wherever they were going to build the arena, said he will not be getting the rights to this land, basically outright. So it seems like the Coyotes under him are done, which I think is good. Under him being the key phrase there. Yeah. The Coyotes are, like, great for Arizona hockey. We would not have Matthew Nyes. We would not have Austin Matthews without them. So, like, it's, they're really important, and they've done such a good job, like grassroots, like, with the girls as well, not just the boys. So I think they're an important franchise to have. It's just he is not the owner who should have it.
Yeah. We would not have Matthew Tkachuk either, really.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. Quiz time.
Oh, okay, I'm ready for
this. I have a little quiz for you guys. So the question is, how many / which current teams are former relocation teams? And bonus points if you can name the former team names.
I know this. I know this because I was obsessed with this. It's like 5 or 6, right?
Past. Now there's 7, but yeah, 6.
Well, yeah. I'm not counting the Arizona Coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would start off, like, if you don't mind if I start off, I would go with, like, Winnipeg Jets used to be the Atlanta Thrashers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Carolina Hurricanes used to be the Hartford Whalers.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Stars used to be the Minnesota North Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary Flames used to be the Atlanta Flames.
Yep.
And what's the other one? It's the Avs,
Colorado,
right?
Avalanche used to be the Quebec Nordiques.
Yep. Yes. And there's one more.
The Coyotes?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
You're not counting that?
No. It wasn't in the official list, actually.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking
that was a unique situation too. I forget because I'm not looking at it right now, but I forget what exactly it was. If it was like a move. Because technically there's, like, other teams that are relocated, but not actually. Like,
oh, okay. Because I was thinking you were counting, like, because how, like, the old Winnipeg Jets, like, became the, like,
no. So I do, yeah, I do have a note about that, kind of about that, because there was the original Ottawa Senators that went somewhere and their franchise folded. They're not, I didn't put them on the list because when the original Winnipeg Jets went to the Phoenix Coyotes are no longer a team. And then the Arizona Coyotes are a completely different thing. So they didn't carry the history of it, I believe, was what it was. Okay. So all of these other teams, they have the history. So any Stanley Cups, any, literally like any milestones, all of these teams, current teams, they carry all of the history. Former. There's one more on here. And I can either give you the old team or I can give you the current team if you want a hint.
Can you give us the old team? I think that's what I want.
The Colorado Rockies.
Colorado Rockies.
Became a baseball team.
no! Yes.
I think I remember this. Okay. Colorado Rockies. They moved to the east. I remember that. The New Jersey Devils.
Yes.
I completely forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my little note is both the Ottawa Senators, the current Ottawa Senators, and the current Winnipeg Jets are the second team of their name.
Huh.
Very okay. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But very interesting. I really went on a little deep dive of this and kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Arizona Coyotes and the Utah situation, I don't think because the Coyotes are keeping their history and Utah is just starting anew. So this whole situation is very kind of confusing.
Yeah. I had a friend who was telling me about how the situation is very similar to something that happened in baseball. So let me see if I could pull up the messages real quick before we move on from the topic.
That's like, it's like kind of still happening, right?
Yeah.
The Oakland A's?
Yes, it's what the A's did to Oakland. So basically what it is that the owners didn't want to pay for a new arena. And like, regardless of whether or not the team owns the arena, they plan the arena factors to how much the franchise is worth. So for example, the Arizona owner bought it for $425 million, but he sold it for $1.2 billion, and $200 million of that will be split amongst the other NHL owners, which is why they unanimously approve the sale and relocation. It's all just profit for the team's owner. That's what it comes down to. And they can say the team isn't making money and they're operated at a loss, but ultimately they aren't required to release their finances. So we don't know what's causing them to operate at a loss. They'll say it's ticket sales, but ticket sales are usually a fairly small income for the team. Usually their money comes from TV deals and advertising. And then they, like, it was just so similar to what was going on with the A's that it's just like you're following the MLB's playbook with it. That's it. Fun facts. Fun times. I hate it here. Also, I'm very sorry. I just looked at the time. I have to go.
That is okay. We have.
I'm so sorry.
We talked a long time. This is a long-ass episode, and we're not quite done yet.
Yeah. I know there's more on the docket. I wish I could be here for the rest of it. But I'll sign off and leave you guys to it.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye.
Thank you guys. Bye.
All right, Alex. So who is Ryan Smith?
So I also did a deep dive on this man because for some reason he sketched me out a little bit. And you want to know why he sketched me out a little bit? This is why. So He's the new owner of the Utah NHL team. And he's an American billionaire with a B, question mark. And how did he get there? So he is the executive chairman and co-owner of Qualtrics, which is an experience management company. What does that mean? Don't worry. I looked it up and I got very, very, very confused. But I'm pretty sure they like sell, I don't know, like they sell their advice basically on how to run two different companies. They sell it to different companies, how to run and like make the better experience for customers, basically. He also owns the Utah Jazz and is co-owner of Real Salt Lake MLS team. I believe him and one of the other co-owners of Real Salt Lake last year formed a women's soccer team as well.
They reacquired it, basically. Like, the team used to exist and then it left it. And came back. Yep.
Very interesting. Also, from what I was reading, it seems that he also owns the arenas that they play in. I don't really know how any of that works, if it's him that owns it. From the way that I was reading it, it seemed like it, or if it's like a company that he owns, technically the company owns it. I don't really know, but that's kind of what I was getting, was that he owns the arenas, which I thought was pretty interesting. Yeah, so that's him. He's Mormon. Guess that's kind of why he freaked me out. But he did tweet out the other day that between Wednesday and Friday of this past week, the Utah team, I don't know how the hell they're doing this, where they're sending the money to, but they received over 6,000 deposits for season tickets already. Which is crazy. And apparently people are, like, the locals are very excited for hockey, which, good for them. Excited for y'all. Yeah, 6,000 tickets when it's barely even a team yet is crazy.
It is, yeah. Interrupt this with breaking news. The Leafs have won. Austin Matthews scored a beautiful game-winning goal. And they held off for like 5-7 minutes without letting the Bruins score somehow.
Oh, wow. Go them.
Go them. I'm pretty sure Mitch Marner just absolutely kissed Samsonov. I have to watch that again. I'm sorry. This is important. I think I went back too far. I just want to see Mitch Marner. Loving his goalie. It looked like he like absolutely just fully kissed him on the cheek. Like a big. You know Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Okay. Women's hockey news. The reason why I haven't been here is I've been in two separate places that are 6-hour drives from me watching women's hockey. So the previous weekend I was in Utica watching the Women's Worlds. It was all fantastic hockey, frankly. I am even more of the position that we are ready to expand the top group. Other, like, everybody else is getting better, but like at the same time Canada and the US are still getting better, so you do still have times when Canada or the U.S. like absolutely kind of beat up a Finland or a Switzerland or a Czechia, but it's not because they're bad. It's just because Canada, they're like getting so much, they're still getting so much better, Canada and the U.S. So Canada won gold. Love it. I was not there for the gold medal game. I was like, I do not need to be there. I will drive home. It's going to stress me out if I'm there too much. So I listened to the first two periods on the radio, and The Canada-US round robin game was a 1-0 win for the States in overtime.
Oh.
Whereas the gold medal game was a 6-5 win for Canada.
That's hilarious.
Like, Canada would score, the States would score. Canada would score, the States would score. Like, that's what it was the whole time. It was just back and forth. And it was just, it was very exciting to watch and, like, listen to on the radio. I'm, like, trying not to drive off the highway as I'm, like, listening to it. Finland beat Czechia in another very exciting overtime game. No, they went to a shootout. I think they went to a shootout for bronze. I love seeing Finland back in number three where they belong. Like, they belong in the top three countries in the world for women's hockey, and I'm glad to see they're back there. Mm-hmm. Czechia was honestly very strong, too. Like, I love it. They're so much fun to watch. Switzerland came fifth. They battled to stay in Group A. They beat Germany again in overtime, because Alina Mueller basically just said, fuck it, we're done. This game is done. I'm ending it. And took the puck basically end to end and scored. Germany had the second best goalie of the tournament behind Canada's and Renée Desbiens, which I don't even know if that's true after the gold medal game because there were a lot of goals. But like, I can't think of her name. Oh my goodness. She's actually like one of the other goalies for Ottawa. And she's just like super strong. It's great. Sweden is looking like back where they need to be. Their game against Germany was also super duper tight. And like, I think we're ready for Germany or Sweden to be promoted into that top group as well. And just like, we're ready for that expansion.
Mm-hmm.
The two demoted teams were China and Denmark. But again, like the battle to be not demoted was so tight, it came down to the last game, and like it was crazy. And what else? Okay, so as always, the Canadian coverage was pretty great, GSN doing it, and you know, they have their knowledgeable crews of women who basically former women's hockey players. But they're knowledgeable. They watch the game all the time. They watch the PWHL. They watch the NCAA. They do their research, right? But from what I saw on Twitter, the NHL network coverage was atrocious. They were playing random NHL highlights between the periods. They only showed the U.S. games and I think maybe the Canada games too. I'm not positive. It might have just been the U.S. games. I don't know who was calling the game, if they were as bad, but the people between were just like people who know nothing about women's hockey. They were getting names atrociously wrong. Like, Erin Frankel is the Americans' top goalie right now, and they called her Bethany Frankel.
Oh.
And like, that's not even close. Like, just, it's just bad. So I feel bad for all the American fans who are stuck watching NHL network coverage when,
yeah,
especially when you know that a great product is being put out by Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the thing is, they have broadcast crews who can do this better. They're just not using them, basically.
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely hard also, like, when you're trying to be like, oh, like, let me get into and start watching more women's hockey. And it's almost like, I don't, like, you're getting wrong information. So yeah, it's kind of like you then have to go and kind of search up yourself. It's not something that you can kind of watch and like learn as you watch, because like you always have to like second guess, like, was that correct? Is that the correct person? Is that the right name? Is that the right stat? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my recap on Worlds. PWHL. So the reason why I was away, why we're recording this on the Monday as opposed to the Sunday, is because Saturday I was at, it drove to Montreal. Well, I didn't drive to Montreal on Saturday. That would have been too long a drive to do and make it to the game on time. Anyway, I was in Montreal at the Bell Center for Montreal versus Toronto, and the world record for attendance was broken yet again for I think the third time this year now, with 21,105 people attending. It was a sellout. It was so much fun. It was so loud. It was amazing. The biggest thing for me was, like, they're introducing the like starting lineup and the players for Montreal. And the cheers just kind of getting progressively louder as we got closer to Marie-Philippe Poulin. And then it was so loud for her. And it was amazing. And I mean, like, I was like tearing up the whole time. It was really good. And it's also just funny because, like, they're booing Sarah Nurse and Natalie Spooner and Renata Fast, who I'm sure everyone was cheering for the week before during Worlds. So it's just like funny to have that happening. And then the other thing was, it's a tight game. It ends 2-2 and over, and then we go to overtime, and Sarah, we're like settling in for a long overtime, and then Sarah Nurse scores 13 seconds in. And I was like, yeah, like, my dad and I were just like cheering really loud amongst all these Montreal fans, and it was very funny. But now that means that Toronto is the first team to clinch a playoff spot.
Very exciting.
Yeah. No one else has technically officially been eliminated from contention. I believe New York just needs to lose one more game and then they will be. So currently the standings are Toronto, Montreal and Minnesota are tied. They have 35 points each. And then Ottawa has 30, Boston has 28, and New York has 20. So each team has 4 or 5 games remaining. So big couple weeks coming up here for everybody. Then also during Worlds, Ottawa got a hitting clinic from Mark Mathot, who is a former Senators player. I think it's really important that they give these hitting clinics. I think everybody should get it on how to hit and how to receive hits safely so that we're not running into injuries for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is that they announced the trophy for the PWHL, and like the trophy itself is pretty cool. But they called it the Walter Cup after the Walter Group, who was the ones who financed it. And I just think, like, that's really kind of a shitty thing to do. There's so much women's hockey history, and that we should be, like, naming these trophies after instead of the man who financed it, basically. Like, I was thinking, like, to me, like, Jaina Hefford would never let you do it as the head of the PWHL, but it should be the Hefford trophy, in my opinion, because, like, she has been the driver of the PWHPA and the PWHL and, like, their leader, and obviously was a great hockey player of her own in her own time. So it's just, you know, kind of shitty to name it after a dude. Okay, I think that's it. You can follow us on Twitter, at For Puck's Sake Podcast, Instagram at For Puck's Sake Pod, TikTok at For Puck's Sake Podcast, and Tumblr at For Puck's Sake Pod. Bye.
Bye.